Psalm 25. Psalm 25. I said last week I was going to preach my last sermon on prayer, and then I got thinking about this is going to be my last sermon on prayer. Amen. I think we've had about six now. Brother Stephen Moore sent me a message today. He's redesigning our webpage. You might want to go on there and look at it. He's putting a lot of nice stuff on there. Some of the people at the other place, that's Psalm 25, was asking, would we like to do this and do that? You know, over the years they've changed, you know, and they've got the big screens and they've got the computer that does all kinds of stuff on the screens and stuff. I said, no, we ain't changing a thing. I said, why would we change? And I started to say, y'all been changing now for the past 10 preachers, and look where it got you. There ain't but six of you left. Yeah. Amen. Why change? Amen. Amen. And so thank God. God doesn't change. I don't see any reason to change. Amen. Yes, and one day, I'm only 64. Don't get real excited. I'm going to be around here a long time. I've pretty well got most of your funerals planned already, so... So don't thank you. My mama's 99. I plan on going an extra year. So don't get really excited. We ain't changing anything. Amen? Nothing. Amen. Amen. Psalm 25, if you will. I want to talk to you just a little bit more about prayer. If you'll start with verse 2. Oh my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Now, you know what he's talking about? We got a lot of enemies in this world. We do. We've got a lot of enemies in this world. Now, I don't have any enemies myself, but they consider me their enemy. If they were on the side of the road, I'd stop and help them. You know, if they need something to eat, I'd buy them something to eat. I don't have any enemies. When I got saved, all that went out of my heart. I don't have any. I don't hate anybody. It's hard for me to get mad at people. Amen. My wife gets mad at me sometimes because I won't get mad at people. And I've mellowed out in my old age. we have some enemies. And a lot of times the only reason we don't know it is because the Lord takes care of that. So, and one of the ways He takes care of that is through prayer. Now, when we pray, we do several things. I'm going to show you in this passage of Scripture what we do when we pray. But when I pray, it can move heaven and earth. You ever thought about that? Some people don't agree with this, but I just talked the other week and had Scripture to prove it. You can change God's mind by praying. Old Hezekiah did. Boy, I guarantee he danced for about a year after, out of those 15 he got, just for praying. That's all he did. He didn't even deserve it. No boy didn't deserve it. God gave him 15 years. All he had to do was pray one prayer. And so prayer does affect everything and everybody. And Brother Danny said he used to pray that his boss man would get an ulcer about the size of a grapefruit. Until he came here and found out how he's supposed to pray, and he started praying that the Lord would bless his boss man. Now his boss man's nice to him. He's gone. His new one's nice to him. His new boss man's nice to him. God moved that mountain. Amen. But why pray? That's the question. Why pray? If God knows everything, and if God already knows what you're going to pray, and if God already knows what's best for you and what's not, and if God already sees how it all will turn out, some people say, well, then why pray? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Now, we pray for guidance. Now, I know some of you think it, but you're not the sharpest crayon in the box, okay? Some of you think you are, but you're not. I'm not. Amen. I'm definitely not the smartest person in this room. But I need a lot of guidance. I've made a lot of dumb mistakes in my life. Most of my life has been lived by experience. Bad experience. I know what to do because I've done it wrong. Amen. I know what to do. I know. But when if I would have just prayed and asked God to teach me and guide me, it would have saved me a lot of heartache and hardship. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we pray for guidance. I prayed for everything. I prayed for guidance on everything. Now, before I was saved, I didn't even ask anybody for guidance. I was full of pride and ignorance. And I did whatever I wanted to. And I didn't care what you thought about it. I did not do a survey or ask an opinion poll or anything else. I just did what I wanted to do, let the chips fall where they may. But after I got saved and the Spirit of God moved in me, I've learned to look to Him for guidance.
Amen.
And then He said, we wait on Him all day long. Now, I'm impulsive. My wife will tell you, I'm impulsive. I'm not compulsive. I don't have to do things. You know, I don't have to have things lined up just right and all that. I'm pretty sloppy most of the time. But I am impulsive. My wife will start telling me what to do, and she gets mad at me because she's yard work or moving or doing something. You know, before she's through telling me, I'm already walking off, going to go do it. She said, wait a minute, I'm not through telling you. Well, there's two things about that. There's two things about that, especially you younger men. Women just like to tell men what to do. That's the number one thing, okay? The other thing is men think they already know what to do. So you give me about four words in a sentence and I'm out the door. I know what to do. Amen? And then she comes out and says, why'd you do that? I thought that's what you wanted me to do. You didn't listen to me. Y'all don't have that problem, do you, Brother Dan?
It's universal.
It's universal. Saved and lost men have that problem, amen? But with God, see, you better wait on God.
Amen.
You better wait on Him because I've jumped ahead of Him before. Especially when I was younger and just starting out preaching, man, I was eager. I was eager and like renting that liquor store in Lancaster and making a church out of a liquor store, you know. I was just eager to do something. And so if somebody said, well, we ought to, I'd be over there doing it before they got finished. Before it finished your mind. But I learned to wait on the Lord because He'll teach me. He'll lead me into truth. And He's the one that owns my salvation anyway. He knows how to do it right. He's seen a lot of dummies come and go since Adam like me. Amen? And then I want you to notice this. Look at verse 7. In verse 7 and verse 11, he says this. Remember not the sins of my youth. Boy, we could park it right there, couldn't we? Nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Look at verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. You better pray for forgiveness.
Amen.
You better do it. If you hang on to that stuff, now we all sin. There ain't no angel wings. There ain't no halos in here, you know. Today you sinned. Today. Now, it might not have been a sin of commission. It might have been a sin of omission. It might have been something you should have done you didn't. Or it could have been something you shouldn't have done and you did. And if you drive between here and Charlotte to work, I know you sinned. Yeah, you sinned. When that Yankee cut you off with that Florida tag. No, I'm sorry. My daughter told me one day she lived in Florida for a long while. Here's what they need to do. They need to move West Virginia to Florida and Florida to West Virginia because everybody's in Florida is a northerner and everybody in West Virginia, which is closer to the north, is a hillbilly. So they ought to move them down south and move them. Anyway. She said they really don't mean that when they cut you off, those Floridians. So what do you mean they don't mean it? He didn't put on signal. He just, whoop, right there in front of me. And blow the horn at you and give you the high sign and everything else. She said, that's just the way they drive. I said, that's because they're heathens. Every one of them's heathens. They haven't been trained right. Amen. And every time I get around that kind of driving, I have to ask forgiveness. Now, I don't cuss. I do not. I quit cussing when I got saved. Now, I cussed bad then. If I didn't know one, I'd make one up. But if somebody does cuss, I'll say amen on that one. Amen. Getting cut off, I mean. But we better pray for forgiveness. You know why? He said there in verse 7, he says this, remember not the sins of my youth. Not as you get older, you get wiser and you get weaker. And you can't sin like you used to. And you got a little more sense not to. But you better remember where you come from.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, there might be a few people in here that grew up in a Christian home and you had a pretty good life. Well, you sinned too. And it may not been the sins that us others did, but you sinned. But listen, where sin did abound, grace did that much more abound. If it's sin, it's sin. Doesn't matter how many or how much. And we all need to get all that past, all that youthful ignorance, get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. But he doesn't stop right there. He says, not my transgressions, nor my transgressions. Now he's talking about right now. Breaking the law of God right now. Now, if you don't pray, when do you ask forgiveness? If the only time you pray is over a meal, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for this food. When do you ask forgiveness? You better pray every day and ask for the grace of God and the forgiveness of transgressions, because though you are a child of God now and your past is under the blood of Jesus Christ, you better not forget where you came from and check yourself out every day, or that some of that will come back.
Amen.
Amen. Some of it will come back. Sometimes people will say, well, you know, I ask the Lord to forgive me every night before I go to bed. Lost people tell me that. I said, well, why don't you just ask Him to forgive you and save you one time? Because what they're doing, they're getting saved every night. They think. They think they're getting saved every night. They think, now lay me down to sleep. If they don't wake up, they'll wake up in heaven because they confess some little old sin. And they don't even know what sin really is because they're not saved. And He forgives us of our transgression. We better pray every day for forgiveness every day. Look at 25 verse 12. I'm talking about why I pray. Look at verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Now, he's saying this. What man fears the Lord? If you fear the Lord will help you to make the right choices. Amen. Did you know sometimes we need to pray over decisions?
That's right.
Amen. You ought not buy a car, a house. You certainly ought not get married. Well, I tell you what, you don't pray over that. We'll see one of you in a few years. Don't make decisions without praying. Praying ought to be a part of all our decisions.
Everything.
That's right, in all things. And people just take it so lightly now. They'll tell me they did this, they did that. I'm talking about church members. And I'll say, did you pray about that? And they say, no, I didn't have to pray about it. Oh, here it comes, that old joke I used to tell all the time. Right here, this is where it belongs, right here. We got visitors. Y'all remember the joke, number 125. This boy was walking down the street one day and he had a pocket full of money and he was whistling, and he walks by this old preacher washing his car, and the preacher says, boy, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get me a car. He said, you're going to get a car? How you know? He said, I just sat him, get me a car. I got the money right here in my pocket. He said, son, you better ask the Lord if it's his will. Have you prayed about it? No, I ain't prayed about it. I ain't got to pray about it. I got the money right here. I done picked out the car. The man's waiting on me. I'm going to go down there and get it and pay for it. And I got the money right here. He said, you better say if the Lord's will. He said, no, the Lord ain't got nothing to do with this. I already got it. I'll see you at the wild preacher with the car. A little bit later, he comes staggering by. His clothes is all tore up and he's filthy and bloody. And the preacher says, what happened to you, son? He said, you know that car is going to get? He said, yeah. He said, you know that money I had? He said, yeah. He said, some people beat me up and took the money. I can't get the car. And the priest said, oh, that's awful, son. What you going to do now? He said, I'm going to go home if it's the Lord's will. That was you, wasn't it? Amen. But hey, all our decisions should be made by prayer. You know, we don't think about little things, how the Lord wants to be a part of it. Just little things.
Amen.
Do you know how many properties I looked at before we found this one we moved into? Every week I'd spend a day or two riding all over this town looking for properties. I'd internet, newspapers. I'd go places and there's three empty churches. Try to find out how to get them, you know, and talk to people. And couldn't ever get anywhere, and I was so frustrated. I was just so frustrated. I said, Lord, we've been over here on John Street now all these years, and now the building's too little. And well, you got these old dead churches around here. There's only six in them. They seat 300. Or you got 100 in that one. It seats 700. And you got five in that one. It seats 150. And we're over there renting that old building that was built in 1949. And Lord, we need a building. And just talk all day to the Lord about it. I couldn't find anything. But I'm glad I didn't find anything. But I'm glad I was praying while I was looking.
Amen.
Now, I could have finagled some of those people to sell in their property, but you know what? Two of them was in a terrible neighborhood. You wouldn't win at night. You wouldn't. And these rednecks in here, about half of them carry pistols, but they'd been scared to go at night. Listen, you better make... Look, especially when it comes to important things, but even the small things. They called me this past week, last week, and told me that my mama has quit eating, and she don't want to eat. And so I talked a little while. I said, let me talk to a nurse. I said, tell me what's going on. She said, well, it's just dementia. Their brain stops telling their stomach that they're hungry, so they don't want to eat. And I said, well, what's the next step? And she said, well, feeding tube. I said, well, there's a lot of problems with that. I mean, infections and all this stuff, especially in nursing home. I said, I don't know if I'm ready to do that or not. And I said, what's the other option? She said, well, just quit feeding her. I said, that's a long, agonizing death. She said, she won't feel it. Her brain is not connecting to her stomach anymore. I said, yeah, but... You know, you can go without water about 3 days and die, 3 or 4 days before you die. But you can go without food for a month. And now I've got to watch her shrivel up for a month. I said, I don't know if I can take that. I don't know what I'm doing. I've been praying. And then finally I tried to get in touch with the doctor, and the doctor don't want to talk to me that works down there. So I got in touch with it. They have a committee. They have all these people that do different stuff for them. They're going to meet with me tomorrow and talk to me about their plan. Y'all pray for me. Some people do it so lightly. They just say, well, put a tube in her. Or just let her go. They just do it so lightly. I'm praying hard. Lord, three times they've told me this. The hospital, three times, three different occasions, three different doctors said, she's old, she don't want to eat, just let her go. Or she's old, they're going to chop off her leg, just let her go. And that last one said, let's just quit feeding her. Old people don't want to eat. She's from Pakistan, by the way, this doctor is. And she's old, she don't want to eat, so let's just quit feeding her and let her go. And all three times I said, no, I'm not. I'm not letting my mama go. Like no. I'm gonna pray, and we're gonna find something else to do. He's always worked it out. So I'm praying that God will work it out. But even if He don't, I'm praying what to do. Do you understand what I'm not wanting you to feel sorry for me. I'm wanting you to understand. Pray about everything. I don't care if that doctor's got 25 degrees behind his name. He's just a man.
That's right.
And I've got the great physician. I can talk to him.
Amen.
Amen. But well, what to pray about small decisions. You know, everything. Large decisions. Hurry. Boy, about time to go. You ain't got those extra padded seats. Look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. You know, you better pray about your trouble. Man's days are few and full of trouble, Job said. Let me tell you something. If you're over 10 years old, you done started recognizing there's a lot of trouble in this world.
Yes.
And if you're over 12, you've realized a lot of it's happening to you. This world is not our friend. Now, we look at people that have money and wealth and fame and all these things. Well, watch Aretha Franklin's funeral. See what you think about that. Watch Joe Biden's funeral. See what you think about that. Look at Prince's family still arguing over that money. Look at Michael Jackson's family still arguing over that money. By the way, all that money and fame did not add one more day to their life. Not one day. Shorten it, I think. Did not add one more day to their life. And look, that money did not filter the trouble. They still had trouble. They had family trouble. They had broken hearts. They had disappointments. They had health problems. They had everything we have. Money does not stop that. You better turn your troubles over to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to. He wants you to call on Him. He told Jeremiah, He said, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, if you hadn't had trouble this week, you're a rarity. But don't get too happy. The week ain't over yet. Amen? If it's not health trouble, it's something else. And I, Brother Ron, I used to kind of make fun of older men when I was in my 30s and 40s. You know, I was so surprised. Now I'm that guy that gets up in the morning, don't say good morning, Lord. I say good Lord this morning. I hurt all over. You turn about 50, that you get to. I don't care if you're going to live to be 99. You get 50, you get to the top of that hill, and it is a fast ride down, buddy. I thought it'd be easier once I got to the top of the hill. It ain't. It's worse going down than it was going up. Amen. Trouble after trouble after trouble. Amen. You better pray, he said there. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Now that's spiritual trouble. That's emotional trouble. Now, I've been saved since 1978. I've not doubted, not thank God, ain't me. Thank God, I've not doubted my salvation not one time. Not one time. I put it all on Him that day, and I hadn't took it back. If I go to hell, they're going to have to air condition it. Yeah. I'm not going to hell. He made me a promise, and I believe Him, and that settles it. It doesn't matter whatever devil in hell does. But I've had a lot of trouble. It did not shield me from troubles. You know, some people think, well, if I get saved, it's going to be a bed of roses. Yeah, but all those roses got thorns on them. Every one of them. Every one of them. Satan's apples may have worms, but the Lord's roses have thorns. We're still in the flesh. We're still living in a wicked, sin-cursed world. If you got children, you're going to lose your mind before it's over with. Mark Twain said, when they turn 12, nail them in a box. Don't let them out till they're 25 because they lose their mind. Don't get it back till they're 25. If you don't believe that, get automobile insurance on a boy under 25 and he ain't married. Amen? Now, girls ain't so bad, but boys, because they know boys are stupid. People ask me, Brother Ron, why didn't you ever have any boys? I said, the Lord knew I'd kill them. I would. I'd look at him and I'd say, boy, I know what you're thinking. I used to be just like you. You're a dead man. My daughters, they just flutter those eyes, you know, and or cry. I said, go to your mama. Go to your mama. I ain't never been a girl. I don't know how a girl feels. They can trick you. Girls are tricky. They play on our stupidity. But if you've got children, you got trouble. It's going to mean extra work down on the job. It's going to mean extra payments and extra groceries and extra everything. And then when they turn teenagers, you really got trouble. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and say this. I've never seen a saved teenager with good sense. I was youth pastor in 3 churches. I could have killed every one of them. And then my kids grew up and had babies. God, I thought, well, me and my wife were going to get older. My kids going to get married. Half our troubles will be gone. But then they married strange men. Now your troubles are back, plus one. Then they start having children. There goes that trip to Florida and Hawaii, and it's all gone. But even the best Christians have trouble, though. I'm teasing. I know you're laughing. I'm teasing. Many truths are said in jest. But saved people have troubles. Don't you think we don't have trouble? I mean, we fight with our kids. We fuss with our in-laws. You know, we have trouble. We have health problems. I don't care what Benny Hinn said. One day he's going to get sick and die. Amen? And then his wife's going to take his place. Going to get sick. Or that's his third wife. But anyway. Preachers have trouble. We get cut off in traffic. Churches have trouble. You better pray. Now, your wife might love you, your husband might love you, your children might love you, your pastor might love you, your in-laws might even love you. I had one of the greatest mother-in-laws ever lived on God's green earth. But I'll tell you what, there comes times they can't do a thing for you. You better pray. It's funny how people don't pray until somebody's in the hospital and they're at the bedside. And I walk in, I think, that prayer ain't getting through. You ain't prayed all this time. Now, all of a sudden, you think God's like Santa Claus. He's just going to hear that one. You hadn't confessed any sins. You haven't been repentant. You don't live for God. You don't even go for church. And now you think just because you pray there that this is going to happen. You better pray without ceasing. Then last, look at Psalm 25, 19 through 20. He said, consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. You better pray for protection. You better pray for protection. You may not know it. I made some guys mad one time at church. Some men. And this other guy, I'll never forget him. He was a black man. He was a member of our church from St. James Island or somewhere. And he talked with kind of a Geechee, they call it, accent, you know. And he told me, he said, you made those three guys mad. And said, I walked up on them at church, and they said they were going to get together and come out of your house and whoop you. He said, but that's all right, Pastor. He called me Pastor. He said, that's all right, Pastor. I told him, I said, you boys better remember where Pastor came from. He might whoop all three of you. He said, they changed their mind. They didn't come. But you know what? That was the Lord told him to say that. That Lord told him to say that. We better pray for protection. We hear about these shootings and stuff. You don't know when somebody's going to walk in your house or your church and start shooting. You don't know. You ladies, you don't know what kind of heathen is walking right down the street beside you. You don't ever know. And so you better pray for protection. Ask him to put a hedge around you. I pray for my children and my grandchildren every day that God, you'll save them and you'll protect them and you'll put a hedge around them and don't let anything or anybody get to them that would harm them. I pray that. And people prayed that for us before we were ever saved. Have you ever wondered why, Brother Ron, all those other guys you ran around with, got in trouble with, they died and didn't get saved, and here you sitting saved, still alive. You ever wonder why God would do that? All of us have wondered that. I'll tell you why. Because you had a mama or a grandma or grandma or grandpa, a daddy or preacher or somebody was praying for you that God would protect you.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that love Him. I really believe that. I've got some personal examples. You know, my children, my grandchildren know better than anybody else's. But I believe God protects them.
Amen.
And I want you to think about this, Christian. Think how many people have made professions of faith and they're no longer in church, they're no longer in the will of God. Some of them are divorced or in jail or something. And have you not ever wondered why that's not you? I know it's just by the grace of God, but why did you get to be okay and grow and go and they didn't? I'll tell you why. Because you were praying for help. That's why, and they weren't. Every time before I preach, all day today, I pray, Lord, help me. I don't know how to preach. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. If anybody's going to get any help, Lord, it's going to have to come from you, not me. I pray every day. I pray, Lord, me and my wife, we pray before she goes to work. We pray together there. And we pray this every day. Lord, give us health. And Lord, give us wealth so we can serve you and not have to worry about those things.
Yes.
I've pastored churches and worked public jobs. There's nothing wrong with that, but God's always given me a job to work. Most of my ministry years, I've had a job, at least part-time. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. But God's got to give me the health, and He's got to give me the wealth somehow, and He's got to protect my health, and then He's got to protect the wealth that He's given me so I can serve Him and not be occupied with that stuff. So when you got somebody in the hospital, I can go. I don't have to worry about that stuff. Now, I need protection. You need protection. The world we live in. Now, this area of the country is not as bad as some. But there's some places it's dangerous to be a Christian today, the day that we live in. Not this area. Somebody might cuss you. Somebody might make a little fun of you. But I don't think anybody's going to shoot you because you're a Christian around here. I think there's enough fear of God left around here that's not going to happen. That it might shoot you robbing a liquor store, but you ought not be there. I don't fear the liquor store. Now, our church, we've had a lot of people come, a lot of people go. Like I said, our attendance has been up and down and up and down. past few years we've had steady growth of good, solid people. And God has protected us. I know sometimes people probably came in, you know, and they thought we were something we wasn't. Or maybe they came in and thought, well, and somehow we can just, I can take over that place. They had those thoughts. Some came in and said, well, that preacher makes me mad. I'll just destroy him. Gossip, backbiting, things like that. But God's protected us for these 12 years. He's protected us. And He's added one to the body and added another one, added two, added three, added one, added four, added two, added three. And God has protected this church. We're the dinosaur in this town. There are no other churches like this. Somebody asked me, said, where would you go to church if that church wasn't there and you wasn't the pastor? I don't know. So that's why God led me and Jason Coley to start this one. Now, God has to protect us being that way. Now, if we got those screens over there, now if we put some rock CDs on there, you know, and paint the ceiling black and black out the windows, you know, and all this, make it into a rave, everybody will like us. But if we just stick to the book, we're going to have to ask God to protect us. All the demons in hell hate that. When you stand, you don't think much about it, but when a preacher stands up and says, I believe the Word of God, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and it's in the King James Bible for the English-speaking people, every demon in hell gets mad at that. He'll stir up some preacher, some Jezebel or something and say, you got to go stop that. When a preacher gets up and says, sin is sin, like it or lump it, it ain't okay, and I'll name a few if you want to hear them. And boy, all the devils in hell get mad at that. See, God has to protect us. See, when you look at your children or your grandchildren, you say, "No, we don't live like that. We're Christians. We're not going to be that way. We don't look that way, act that way. We don't listen to that stuff. We don't hang around with that crowd. It stirs up every devil in hell, and the devil, hey, he'll send opposition against you." You better pray for protection. Some of y'all came out of churches that were destroyed like that. Some of you came from homes that were destroyed that way. So we're moving that new building. We're going to get out there Saturday morning, Brother Danny, and we're going to pray. We're going to be cutting some tree limbs, but we're going to pray a hedge around it.
Yes.
That God will protect us. Now, if you're not saved tonight, you know what? You've got no guidance. You've got no forgiveness. You've got no help in your decisions. You've got no help in your trouble. And you have no protection. Why don't you get born again so you can have some help?
Amen. Yeah.
If you're not saved tonight, it would be a good night to get saved. Those of you who are Christians, you know what? I just want to keep on reminding you what you got. And in prayer, that's what we have. Let's stand. Father.